الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. I've mentioned in the past that one way to look at life is that it is a test against our claim. Obviously, we all know life is a test, so it's not one way to look at life. We can all appreciate that life is a test. But one way to think about that test is that it is a test against our claim. What is our claim? La ilaha illallah. So we make a proclamation, a declaration, a testification of faith, that there is nothing worthy of worship other than Allah. And then life tests that claim. How does life test that claim? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us wealth and then sees how do we spend it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us opportunities and then we're judged by how we took advantage of them or didn't take advantage of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us youth, and then we're going to be asked how we spent it. Allah gives us health, we'll be asked how we used it, etc., etc. This is the one way to think about the test. And honestly, it's if you dissect life, you'll just find that it's just a series of tests against a single claim. And we'll be standing on the Day of Judgment, having to answer for each and every single deed that we performed, every single thing that we said, etc. Now, I think everybody in this room can appreciate that, okay, it makes sense. I see that my wealth is a test. Sometimes Allah bestows wealth, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constrains wealth, and in each of those circumstances, it's a test. When Allah bestows wealth, it's a test on how do I spend it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restrains wealth, it's a question of, do I remain patient and recognize that everything is from Allah? You can see easily that, well, my energy is a test, my youth is a test, my health is a test. Today, we're going to talk about a different part of that test, which maybe we're not so quick to appreciate, but if you think about it a little bit, you'll realize that it too is part of the test. And that is our emotions. You know, we all have emotions, right? We go through life and our buttons are pressed in different ways, and based on how those buttons are pressed, we experience emotions. So for example, I may become happy at a circumstance, I may become sad at a circumstance, I may become pleased at a circumstance, I may become angry at a circumstance. These are our emotions. Everybody knows what an emotion is, but all of these emotions are also a test. In fact, if you look at them deeply, they're also a test against that same claim of La ilaha illallah. Just as an example, and the one that we're going to focus on today, is anger. The example that we're going to focus on today to highlight this principle is anger. Interestingly, in one place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the people of taqwa, the people of piety, the people of God consciousness, and he characterizes them with two words that are worth reflecting on. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْذِ, and those who suppress their anger. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is characterizing the people of taqwa. And among the list of those of their characteristics is that they conceal their anger. They suppress their anger. Now, immediately, just from these two words, you can understand something, especially when you contextualize these two words. And that is that, notice that it's not, the Quran is not saying that they don't get angry. Right? It's saying that they conceal their anger. They subdue their anger. So right off the bat, we can recognize that anger is a human emotion. What does it mean? It means that everybody in this room, in fact, everybody listening, is going to get angry. All of us. There's no exception. But what distinguishes us as people of piety, as people of consciousness, of people who appreciate La ilaha illallah, is that we recognize that we need to bring that anger in. We need to quell it. We need to subdue it. And that anger actually is what? Anger actually is a spiritual test. Anger is a spiritual test. Number one, it tells us the state of our character, because we can reflect back at what happened yesterday and see what how we behaved when we became angry. But number two, it's also an opportunity. Spiritually, it's also an opportunity. And again, this is all in that context that we spoke about earlier, right? Which is that essentially the person who appreciates this about anger recognizes that quelling anger, subduing anger, is a expression of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. Now, just to highlight some of the important dimensions of anger, just want to share with you maybe just a couple, two, three statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And again, I'm talking off the top of my head here, so it's going to be just, I'm just going to roughly quote them. For example, on one occasion, a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, how can I distance myself from the anger of Allah? How can I distance myself from the anger of Allah? So the Prophet ﷺ responded, don't become angry. The Prophet ﷺ responded, don't become angry. Meaning what? Meaning, if you want to preserve yourself from Allah's anger, then you should appreciate that. You shouldn't become angry. Right? For example, we know this is a general principle in our deen. Be merciful, Allah will be merciful to you. Forgive, Allah will forgive you. Overlook, Allah will overlook us. And if we want to avoid the anger of Allah, then don't be angry. Don't become angry. Meaning control your anger. So right away, you're getting a little perspective, which we kind of hinted at earlier, which is what? Which is anger is a spiritual test. Why? Because a person who is in a circumstance where they're going to get angry needs to pause and appreciate that, wait a minute, my anger is actually an opportunity. It's not a circumstance in which I should explode. It's an opportunity. How is it an opportunity? Because I know that there's a potential that Allah can become angry with me. And so if I want to shield myself from Allah's anger, then the mechanism by which I do that is to not become angry with others. So what is anger? In a way here, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. In another narration, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and just asked for advice. Like, hey, just blanket open slate. Ya Rasulullah, just give me advice. Open slate. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Don't become angry. So he said, give me more advice. Give me like another piece of advice. So the Prophet ﷺ repeated the exact same thing. Don't become angry. So here again, we're learning another we're seeing anger from another angle, which is what? Which is that it is the advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave to an individual who literally just came and said, advise me. And what was the advice? Don't become angry. Now, we can reflect on this for a minute and appreciate that on many instances, people came to the Prophet ﷺ and just asked for general advice. And if you look through those ahadith, or those, let's say, narrations, you find different advices being given on different circumstances. For example, somebody comes and says, give me advice. And the Prophet ﷺ might say to him, pray around time. Right? And then another person comes and says, what's the best of deeds? Or give me advice. And then another piece of advice is given. And then a third piece of advice may be given on a third circumstance. So here, we should also appreciate that the Prophet ﷺ, he's giving advice. When he gives advice, he's giving advice. There's a context. He's looking at the person, understanding the person, and giving that person advice based on their circumstance. But still, we can take this to heart because we can recognize that all of us have the potential to become angry, and the Prophet ﷺ is giving advice that we should avoid anger. Particularly in the context of the first statement, which was, how do I avoid the wrath of Allah? How do I avoid the anger of Allah? Don't be angry. Don't become angry. All of us need to avoid the potential anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that advice for sure pertains. In another circumstance, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of people are those who are slow to anger and quick to be pleased. And the worst of people are those who are quick to be angry and slow to be pleased. So again, we're getting the same feel about anger. Now, to understand how to control anger, so here we all have a goal, correct? First of all, we all should recognize what anger is. Let me pause here for a second and just say that anger is fire. Okay, I'm not saying it. The Prophet ﷺ says it in another narration, which I'll share with you a little later. But anger essentially is fire. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created anger in us, it has its pros and cons, correct? A little bit of anger at the right time and place can be beneficial. Anger is fire, and a little bit of anger at the right time and place can be beneficial. For example, there's some grand oppression occurring in some place. It's good to become angry in that circumstance, and that's a good emotion so long as it's channeled positively and that little bit of fire is expressed in a way by which the person who's oppressing can back away and see what they're doing. For example, there were occasions, not many, but there were occasions when the Prophet ﷺ would, somebody would do something before the Prophet ﷺ and his face would turn red. But what's interesting is that in those circumstances, the companion who would experience that redness of the Prophet's face would say himself that based on that, I recognized that I did something wrong and I backed away from that. Now, it didn't mean that the Prophet carried this anger with him for weeks on end and, you know, would constantly scold the person. No, it was a very quick surgical, let's call it surgical. It was a very quick surgical expression of anger. The Prophet ﷺ would show redness on his face because it was representing the displeasure of Allah. And then he would show it in such a way or express it in such a way that the heat of that anger was surgical and it would allow the person to appreciate that this is something that they should avoid, this is something that they should change, this is not appropriate behavior, for example. So that's anger that's controlled. And it can be and has its certain time and place where that needs to be expressed. But that's the exception, it's not the rule. Meaning that, generally speaking, for us, we need to appreciate that anger is a fire, and when it ignites, we usually don't know how to use it appropriately. Number one, we ignite at the wrong times because we're not ourselves in balance. And number two, when we ignite, we don't know how to use it appropriately and we end up blowing up on everybody around us. And when we blow up on everybody around us, we damage our personal relationships, we damage our professional relationships, we damage opportunities that might be coming to us, and in the process of blowing up and venting, we don't feel any better. For example, I will tell you, there's no one on the planet that will say, I got angry, I yelled at my kids, and it was so relaxing. I was able to sit back and just relax. No, because the more a person who's angry yells, the more a person who's angry blows up, the more a person who's angry vents the flame that's in them, the fire, now it's a fire, it's burning down the house, right? Flame, it expresses the fire within them, the more that anger is fueled. It doesn't calm the person down. It just makes them feel worse. They can go then sit in a chair and, like, you know, think that they're feeling better, but they don't feel any better. And then on top of that, they end up burning the fingers of everybody around them in the process. And I don't think, like, I have to give an explanation, because we all have gone through this. It's human, right? Like I said, we all have anger. It's a constant challenge. It's a constant test. Just like everything in life is a constant test, we need to appreciate that we will get angry. We need to appreciate that anger is fire. We need to appreciate that it rarely can be used positively, and the vast majority of times it's going to be negative. And because the vast majority of times it's going to be negative and we can't trust ourselves, we need to be amongst the people who appreciate our anger and then suppress our anger so that we can be among the people of taqwa and we can appreciate that it's an opportunity to earn distance from Allah's anger itself. Now, one more thing, which I just going to share this. It's not an Islamic example, meaning in the sense that it's not like taken from like some sort of like Islamic scenario, but it's a parable. It's a general parable. Okay, I'm just going to share it because it highlights some Islamic principles. So there was this monk, it's a parable, okay? There was this monk, and he wanted to find a place where he could reflect and meditate in absolute serenity. There was a monk, and he wanted to find a place where he could meditate and reflect in absolute serenity. So he decided that he was going to go on a boat to the middle, in the middle of a body of water. And not only was he going to go on a boat in the middle of the body of water by himself, he was going to do so in the night. Why? Because that would just guarantee serenity, right? Because typically, particularly in that day and age, people wouldn't go in the middle of the body of water at night. So what does he do? He goes on the boat, he gets himself in the middle of the body of water, and he begins to meditate. So he's meditating, reflecting, meditating. It's the, you know, middle of the night, essentially. And all of a sudden, another boat approaches, and bumps into him. Now, it's bumping into him, because, you know, if two boats collide, they don't just hit once. The waves keep bringing them together. And while he's meditating, he's trying to focus. He's thinking, like, I took all this energy and effort in order to meditate. He's sitting there trying to focus. But what's happening is, in reality, his anger is building up. Every time the boats collide, he's becoming more and more and more hot under the collar. So he's becoming angry. Finally, he just gives up on the meditation. And he shines the light on the boat next door and blows up on the person driving the boat. So he begins to yell and scream until he finally appreciates, as he's shining the light, that there's nobody in the boat next door. What ended up happening was that the boat just became untied and just slowly drifted and ended up colliding with him a few times. So when this happens and he appreciates, he takes the light and he shines it and he recognizes he's yelling at an empty boat. He's blowing up on an empty boat. He is taught a lesson, which is the parable. He's taught a lesson, which is that the anger had nothing to do with the empty boat. It had to do with him. right? The anger actually was in him. It wasn't the empty boat that was causing the anger. The anger was inside of him, and he was just reacting to something which was just an empty boat. So, subhanAllah, now let's just frame this in the context of the deen for a second. What is life? Life is just a test. We all say La ilaha illallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us to see whether we truly believe that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. In fact, nothing happens except through the will of Allah. In fact, Allah is constantly watching, and that's the bigger picture in any scenario. Okay, now what's the pixel? The pixel is that it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm sitting calmly, somebody comes into my life, they come into my life and they begin to say things to me or demand things of me or treat me in a certain way that presses my specific buttons that makes me angry. Okay, now I'm starting to get angry. So as I'm starting to get angry, I can become fixated on the pixel and say, why are you doing this? Why are you saying this? What's wrong with you? And I can slowly become more and more angry and more and more angry and more angry until I fill with fire. And once I fill with fire, I can explode and blow up on whatever that circumstance might be. It could be my kids nagging me. It could be my spouse. It could be my neighbor. It could be my boss. It could be anyone, right? But someone crossed into my life at that moment and pressed my exact buttons. So I could focus on the pixel, which is the moment, or I can shatter the pixel and see the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is that every person who enters my life only enters through the will of Allah. Everything is a test. If somebody walks in the room at 5 o'clock and says A, B, or C, in the end, they are only doing so through the permission and will of Allah. That's the reality. So, in essence, they're what? They're an empty boat. That person who just walked in the room is an empty boat. Now the question is, am I going to blow up on that empty boat, or am I going to realize that this is a test from Allah? It's an opportunity for me to appreciate that I have a chance to distance myself from the anger of Allah by recognizing that I should not become angry in this circumstance. Am I going to take a deeper breath, see the bigger reality, bite my tongue, and say, this is a chance for me to characterize myself as a person of taqwa, because Allah characterizes the people of taqwa as wal-kathimin al-ghayd, those who suppress their anger. Understand the opportunity, right? If there wasn't such an opportunity, then I would never get a chance to express that characteristic. The world is never going to like be perfect. That's not the way this world is. It's always a test. It's always a trial. And it's, you know, it's not a trial like, hey, I got $1,000. What do I do with it? Albeit that is a trial. But there are other trials, right? People will come and say things or do things or act in certain ways. Those are all tests. And if I become angry, I can't justify it by saying that person deserved for me to become angry. No, it's a test for me. And I should look at myself and ask the question whether there's a fire raging within me. Because what is anger? Anger is a fire. And how will anger arise? If it's a fire, fire only arises when there's fuel. So if I'm becoming angry and out of control, then it's because there is a fuel in me that I have fed to that fire. So this is the global understanding that we should have of anger, which is what? Which is, again, very simplistically summarized, the anger is a natural emotion that arises within every single one of us. We will all become angry. That's just the human nature. But we need to appreciate that it is an opportunity to do what? To join the club of the people of taqwa by appreciating what anger really is, recognizing that we need to suppress it to the best of our ability, and recognizing that by suppressing it, we create opportunities for ourselves. For example, the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, tell me, how can I distance myself from the anger of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ gave him very simple advice. Don't become angry yourself. Don't become angry yourself. If you suppress your anger, then you can hope that Allah will suppress or remove his anger from you at a time and place where perhaps it was deserving. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that the individual who suppresses their anger, Allah will conceal their faults. Aren't all of us in need of having our faults concealed? So wouldn't it actually be good if somebody came, quote unquote, from a ironic perspective, wouldn't it actually be good if somebody came and made me a little bit angry and then I had to conceal it because it's really just giving me an opportunity to conceal my faults and I'm just loaded with faults? So we have to appreciate, it's not just anger, by the way, every emotion, but in this case, we're discussing anger. We need to appreciate that everything is a test. We know that. We know that. That's a very common mantra amongst every Muslim, right? Life is a test. Life is a test. We know that. But everything in life is a test. Honestly, every circumstance is really just a micro test against our claim. The claim is La ilaha illallah, and we're tested in these micro scenarios to see how we respond. Do we get caught up in the pixel of me and myself? I, you know, my own pride, my own arrogance, my own whatever. Or do we see the bigger picture, which is that this is an opportunity, number one, for me to reflect on my character, and number two, for me to be able to turn this on its head and use it as a means by which I can qualify myself to be amongst the people of taqwa, by which I can qualify myself to be distanced from Allah's anger, in which I can qualify myself to have my faults and sins concealed. Those are just a few examples. There's many, many more. So now the next question is, how do I conceal my anger? What can I do to suppress and conceal my anger? And here, subhanAllah, we haven't been left orphaned. The Prophet ﷺ provided several pieces of guidance that a person can avail themselves of in the circumstance of anger. Okay, number one. Number one is not necessarily directly prophetic, but it's implied. But anyway, we're going to start with number one, which is to just recognize that we all get angry. Anger is difficult to control. And hence, we should appreciate it and we should back away from the circumstances so we don't put ourselves in unnecessarily difficult tests. What does that mean? It means I have to be a little bit honest with myself about who I am and what my weaknesses and strengths are. For example, if I know that I'm someone who on every third day gets angry and blows up on the family, and then the next third day comes, you know, the next set of days comes and I get angry and I blow up on everybody around me, I'm just someone who likes to bark, right? There's some of us that have that characteristic within us. Then what is the wisdom here? Am I going to cure my anger? No. Anger is not something you can cure. By the way, all the mashayikh of tasawwuf, they say the same thing. Anger is not cured. Anger is subdued. You can't just like say, I'm an angry person, and all of a sudden I'm going to become like, some pacifist. It doesn't happen that way. So what is wisdom is that we look in the mirror and we say, I have an anger problem. Now, we all have an anger problem, but some more than others. So we want to look in the mirror. And by the way, I've said this many times before, and I'm going to repeat it again. Islam is a mirror. It's not a microscope. Islam is a mirror. It's not a microscope. What is a mirror? A mirror means you look and you see yourself. We look at ourselves in the mirror. And just like when we look in a mirror, we can appreciate that my hair is not proper or my buttons are off. When we look in the mirror of Islam, we appreciate our weaknesses and we adjust ourselves. And what is Islam not? It's not a microscope. We don't like take the lens of Islam and then high power go on our neighbor, high power go on the next person and find all their faults, you know, based on Islamic criteria. So I've used my Islamic criteria to understand that you're this and you're that and you're not this and you're not that. That is not the purpose of deen. It's not a microscope to dissect others. It is a mirror by which we dissect ourselves. Okay, so what was the first point? The first point is that all of us are going to have some degree of anger within us. We need to appreciate the extent of that anger. We need to look in the mirror of Islam and see it for what it is. And then we need to do a little more root cause analysis and say, what are the things that trigger me? And try to step away from those, because we don't want to step into a fight. We don't want to step into a challenge, if you understand what I'm saying. So this is the first thing, to appreciate the problem and to appreciate the circumstances that cause that problem to be most expressed. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, once we've done that, there are some very specific pieces of advice that the Prophet ﷺ provided for us to consider in this state of anger. Well, actually, let me take number two. So number two, number one was to appreciate that we all get angry, appreciate the extent of it individually, and use Islam as a mirror to see this characteristic about us. Number two is to appreciate that not only do we want to recognize anger, but we want to recognize what are the earliest steps of anger. Now let's go back for a second. We said anger is like an explosion. Anger is like a fire. Let's say it this way. Anger is like a fire. But every fire begins with a spark, right? So I want to appreciate what are the things that spark me, but I also want to recognize and keep a monitor on myself. Whenever I feel the warmth of anger, I don't want to let it grow into a fire. You understand that point? Okay. Now with that, then what are we going to do if we find that anger begins to boil over within us, that heat of that anger begins to rise? What are the things that I can specifically do? So here, the Prophet ﷺ, he provided some basic guidance. For example, and I won't be comprehensive here because I'm talking off the top of my head, but just again, give you some basic pointers for all of us. Number one, to remain silent. The Prophet ﷺ advised that when anyone becomes angry, they should remain silent. I don't think you need a PhD to understand that, right? It makes a lot of sense. Number one, well, because I already said earlier, when somebody becomes angry, speech tends to do two things. Number one, it fuels their anger, because the more they yell, the more they scream, the more hot they become. It's not an extinguisher. It's a fuel of anger, number one. 1A, that's 1A. And 1B, when a person becomes angry and begins to spew that fire on everything around them, they burn the whole house down. They burn the whole house down. They burn their children. They burn their family. They burn their spouse. Sometimes they burn their opportunities. Sometimes they burn their employment. Sometimes they burn their education. It just is it's an explosion that becomes uncontained. So subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is giving us like gems of advice. If we become angry, we should try to be silent. Meaning maintain as much silence as possible. Sometimes you can't be absolutely silent, but you can just err towards the side of silence. Another piece of advice. The Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you becomes angry, if he's standing, he should sit. And if he's sitting, he should lay down. And I'll tell you that I've personally witnessed this. Like, sometimes we can become so angry that we need to sit to calm down. Or even somebody can become so enraged, that they actually literally need to lie down. And that's fine, because if that's what needs to be done, better to lie down than to explode. So this is another piece of advice, prophetic piece of advice, which we can generally kind of like categorize as change posture. If I'm standing, sit. If I'm sitting, recline. If I'm reclining, maybe lay down. So this would be another piece of advice. A third piece of advice, to say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim." Just this much. One time, there were two people fighting and they were arguing at the top of their lungs. In fact, in the context of the argument, the people became so enraged that their eyes were red and their veins were bulging. So angry. Eyes were red and veins were bulging. The Prophet ﷺ, he witnessed this. And he said, I know a phrase that if the person said this phrase, it would calm him down. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Such a simple phrase, just to pause. Now, what is it really doing when a person says this phrase? It's causing them to pause, right? It's causing them to cut the cord, turn away from the circumstance, appreciate that they're in the middle of like, and they're engulfed in a rage, engulfed in a fire, and to just take a deep breath and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. So this is another piece of advice, just a simple phrase. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. And look, it's very tough to say when the neck veins are bulging and when the eyes have become red, but it can be said much more easily when that little warmth of fire is appreciated within all of us, and all of us can knows this feeling because we're human beings and we all experience this feeling. Another piece of advice. The Prophet ﷺ, he said something very interesting, which is a bit tied to the point that we just made a moment ago. He said, anger is from shaitan. Listen, it's weight in gold. Anger is from shaitan. And shaitan is from fire. And water extinguishes fire. So if you become angry, make wudu with water. Now the hadith actually says make wudu, but I'm adding here parentheses, with water, right? Just to understand that, complete the thought. Anger is from shaitan. Shaitan is from fire. Water extinguishes fire. So when you become angry, make wudu, parentheses, with water. So this is another piece of advice. Maybe to make wudu, or to simply just take a sip of water, or to splash water on the face, whatever it takes. Just to pause for a moment and recognize the circumstance that we're in, and ideally make wudu, because the Prophet ﷺ is giving us the advice to make wudu. Again, this is not comprehensive. I'm sure there's other pieces of advice that you can identify. I'm just trying to raise an idea in our minds that we need to appreciate what anger specifically, and more generally what emotions, what they truly are. They're just another layer of this test called life. No one ever says that I got so angry that I vented on the world and I calmed down and everybody in the world around me changed. That's not what anger does. Anger doesn't change anyone. Anger actually just distances us and actually causes more problems in life. Because now when you get angry and fight with someone, now not only did you have to deal with the anger, but then you have to deal with the fact that you hurt someone else and now they want to fight with you, and now you got fighting two front war. One is the shaitan within us, and two is the fact that I got to fight with my neighbor now because I blew up on him about the garbage can yesterday. So we should appreciate anger for what it is. And part of our test is not just to say, I've got this money, I've got to donate it, I've got this time, I need to use it, I've got this energy, I need to expend it, but it's also to recognize that every single clash that occurs in life, every single, you know, it's like a stage. If you're in a play, I don't know, when I was in eighth grade, seventh grade, you know, we would be in the play, and then they would like, all of a sudden it'd be like, scene would be set, and then we would roll the things in, you know, here's the background, here's this, and then somebody would walk in from this side, and then somebody would walk in from this side, and then it would be like a little scene, right? Life is the same way. You're sitting in a background, and all of a sudden you break a gathering. For example, we're sitting in the masjid. This is one gathering. We're going to break this gathering, and each of us are going to return to our homes or to whatever circumstances next. And then someone's going to walk in the room and say something or do something, and it's a test. Doesn't mean that it's always a test of anger. It's a test of something. Even the opportunity to walk in and say salam, for example, is a test. Every interaction in life can be dissected as an opportunity. Or a potential for failure, by the way. So we need to see life for what it truly is. And anger is one of those, or emotions and anger specifically is one of those tests. And we need to appreciate the harm that it can bring. We need to appreciate the opportunity. We need to appreciate that it's a reflection of who we are. If I get angry, it's not justified. You know, typically if I get angry a lot, I'm going to justify it. It's her fault and his fault and their fault. And no, these are empty boats. Remember the example we just gave, the empty boat. These are empty boats. We're blowing up at empty boats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's writing everything. Nothing happens. If we truly believe that nothing happens except through his will, then everything is an empty boat. Empty boat meaning it's sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a test. Every interaction is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a test. It's like, what, I think that everything is completely controlled by Allah except this person in my life who keeps coming here and there and like irritating me? No, it's a test. Now, does it mean that, you know, we can't ever respond or there isn't a way to work around it or it's, it might be a reflection of something else going on in life? Okay, those are all there. I'm not saying that, you know. Sometimes if I know that my boss is going to like push me the wrong way and I'm going to be blowing up, I need to take a step back and say, is it me or is it my boss? Is it the stress of work? Am I in the right circumstance? Maybe I need to change my job. You know, there's other points that secondarily are going to arise from the interaction. But what can't happen is that I can't turn into an inferno and blow up on everyone around me. That cannot happen. I can't react, I need to act. I need to then take a step back, look in the mirror of Islam, appreciate who I am. Is it me? Is it the circumstance? Is it probably both? Etc. You understand what I'm saying, right? So I'm not just saying that like there never is a response to a circumstance that causes us to be angry, but what I'm saying more globally is that we just need to, at this point, understand that life will throw circumstances at us that will make us angry. We need to see that for what it is, which is really just a spiritual test and a reflection of our character and circumstances, and then we need to look in the mirror of Islam and make the appropriate adjustments. That's the summary. SubhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the circumstances in which we become angry. May he make us amongst those who are able to leverage our anger in such a way that it allows us to become amongst those who Allah characterizes as wal-kathimin al-ghayd, or those who suppress their anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a mechanism by which we're able to conceal our, able to suppress our anger so that we can conceal our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means by which we can distance ourselves from his wrath on the day of judgment, both in this life and the next. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.